Chris wasn't even turning that on before. Would you stand? Sing with me.
Well, I heard an old, old story. How a Savior came from glory. How he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his throne.
Stretched on, his
His love endures forever. For the life that's been reborn, His love endures forever. So sing praise, sing praise. The setting sun, His love endures forever. By the grace of God, we will overcome. His love endures forever. So sing praise, sing praise. You look at your neighbor and sing that. His love endures forever. Now tell someone else. His love endures forever. Look at another person. His love endures forever. Good to see you. Would you look at your neighbor, smile real big? I don't know how they feel next to you, but from up here, they look frightened. Shake someone's hand and tell them you're glad they're worshiping with you this morning. Where we get to stop and remember with everyone around us how thankful and blessed we are to be in the nation that you've allowed us to live. But Lord, we thank you even more for the fact that you have allowed us not just citizenship here in the States, but Lord, an opportunity for citizenship in heaven. Lord, we're grateful for Jesus and for the price that he paid for us. And Lord, as we come to this week and we're surrounded by people who are using the words, Lord, help us to spotlight the word and spotlight the God to whom we are most thankful for. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Do not wait for me to draw near to you, but you clothe yourself in frail humanity. Not wait for me to cry out to you, but you let me hear your voice calling me. Now I'm forever grateful to you, and I'm forever grateful for the cross, and I'm forever grateful to you that you
to draw near to you, but you close. am grateful that God loves us just the way that we are. And I'm also grateful that He refuses to leave us the way that we are because He loves us so much. That's where we have taken and started this entire series that we're in that we knew would wrap up on Thanksgiving as we start getting ready for Christmas. And so this is the Sunday before Thanksgiving. And so the question in the house is, how many of you in this room, with a show of hands, have something to be thankful for? Jim, what is it? Good answer. Wow.
Man. And quick, too.
John, that's good. That's quick. John, what do you got to be thankful for? Your family. Yeah. Nadia? That's cool. That's a gift. Right. Your mom and dad. That's awesome. Good deal. And I'm grateful for this guy sitting in the front row. I don't know. You may not recognize him. He's kind of incognito. He's wearing a mask because he really didn't want to, you know, didn't want to deal with you guys and didn't want you to know who he was. But our board member's back in the house this morning. It is that kind of week where we take the time to think about what it is that we are grateful for. And whom it is we should be grateful to. And so this morning we're going to wrap up our series entitled Never Ever Alone with some thoughts about what it means to be grateful and how gratefulness helps us as we get ready to celebrate Thanksgiving. And it will ask you the question, are you full? Now that will make sense in just a few moments. But before we do that, would you bow your heads and hearts and let's pray together. Lord, we are thankful because we have so much to celebrate. We come in at the end of a busy week, and this is either the end of a week or the beginning of a week, depending on our perspective. And we carry with us the burdens and the disappointments and those moments that life just didn't seem to go as smoothly as we wanted it to. And we bring to this day the events that somehow get caught in the wake of our lives. And if we're not careful, they begin to drag us backwards and threaten to sink us. And so in the midst of that, in the churning world that we live in, we begin thinking about being thankful, and our hearts turn toward holiday celebrations and what that's going to look like. Even this week, the pace of life has changed for many folks and many families. With a week off of school, people are already on the road traveling, and it begins what is a mad rush toward the celebration of your birth. And yet, we know that Thursday, there's a day that's coming that we know we're supposed to slow down long enough and say thanks, but yet sometimes it's hard to take our foot off the gas long enough to remember what it is we're supposed to be about. So today, in this place, in this moment, for these few minutes we're together, I pray above all else that we would be thankful and that you would remind us what it is that we have to celebrate and help us to do so in a way that honors you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Created things. Now and forever, God,
Would you be seated?
We have so much to celebrate. So take your Bibles, if you would, and turn to the book of Colossians, chapter 3, verses 15 through 17. And that's where we land as we finish up this series on the weekend before Thanksgiving, entitled Never Ever Alone. Colossians chapter 3, verses 15 through 17. And the title of the Bible study is So Much to Celebrate. And we do. We have much to celebrate. We have much to be thankful for. And today is one of those days that we're going to talk about those things and try to put some perspective on our lives as we move toward Thanksgiving. You've been lifting your voice in praise. You've been singing about a God who's given us so much and done so much for us. And so it begs the question, are you full? Now, to help you answer that question, I'm going to ask you to turn your attention to the screen for just a moment and give us something to think about as we begin.
I'm full. Pops, you full?
I haven't been this full since Truman dropped the big one.
Nana, are you full?
I'm as full as my purse. Becky, are you full?
You know it, G-Ma. Full does not describe the sheer amount of fullness I'm feeling right now. Billy, what about you?
I'm super full.
Hey, it's Crazy Uncle Carl.
Hey, Billy!
Hey, Crazy Uncle Carl, are you full?
I'm crazy full! Hey, Scam, are you full? He's full. I'm fuller than a lobster boat on the moon.
I'm fuller than Mom when she breaks her low-carb diet.
I'm fuller than Hawaii, the three states underneath it.
I'm so full I need Mom's maternity pants. Hashtag oh snap.
I'm full in my whole body. How about you, Tom Selleck? I'm full.
I'm so full you're gonna have to carry me out of here.
I'm as full as a tick in a blood bank.
I'm full.
I'm full.
I'm full.
Full.
Hashtag F-U-double-L.
I'm full.
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 I'm full. I'm full.
Well, if everyone's full, let's eat.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so full of your joy, and full of your grace and your hope. Father, we're full of your peace and your love. And for that, we're thankful. Amen.
Amen.
Oh.
I'm less full now. That wasn't me. I'm just joking. That was the chair. That was the chair. It wasn't the chair. I wasn't the chair.
Got a little sappy there for a minute, didn't it? Yeah. There's that old story that you've all heard where there's a grandmother that's watching her grandchild as he plays out on the beach, and a giant wave comes in and suddenly, to her horror, sucks the child out to sea. And so she looks toward heaven and she prays to God, "Please, God, save my only grandson. I beg of you, bring him back." And suddenly another wave comes in and washes him back in and dumps him on the shore. As she reaches over and picks him up and stands him to his feet, she looks back toward heaven and said, "He did have a hat on." That's gratitude for you, right? And so often we live in a world, a culture, where some people just are never satisfied. Some people are just never full. And some people, and maybe I'm talking about you and me, maybe I'm not, have a hard time expressing gratitude or maybe even feeling it. An interesting phenomenon is taking place, and there's a lot of studies that are taking place right now in child development, but they are discovering that gratitude in children actually comes relatively later in their young lives, and they have to be taught to be grateful. It's something that has to be reinforced over and over again. And if you don't teach it to them, what happens is that they will adopt something that is very natural in the world and the culture that we live in. They will begin to believe that the world owes them a living. There was one parent that said that they didn't want to force their child to say thank you unless they really felt like saying it, because they didn't want to teach them to be a hypocrite. Now, I hear that testimony and think, boy, you are dumber than a post. But by the same token, that is a great example of how much we have missed and gotten off course in understanding what gratitude really is, because our feelings have very little to do with gratitude. Our feelings have little to do with why we should express it. Because gratitude is an emotion, yes, but by the same token, it also is an action. And the act of saying thank you and saying thanks is for the benefit of others as much as it is for you. That's why in the Psalms, David reminds us that we offer what is called the sacrifice of thanksgiving. It's an act of obedience, not an emotional outburst. We say thank you to God, not we say thank you to God not because we feel good, but because He is good. We say thank you to God, not because it always feels like we're thankful, but because God is always good. And if you've had a bad week, or if you're feeling like right now that you know life's not going the way you want, it hasn't changed the fact that God is good. And you have something to be thankful for. That's why David, as he pens the psalm in Psalm 116:17, says, I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving, and I will call upon the name of the Lord. And this is from a guy who had a lot of stuff that was going on that at times would cause him not to feel like he was thankful. And to the people at the church that Paul is writing to, when we look at open the book of Colossians, where we're going to go this morning in just a moment, he mentions in just a few verses three different themes in one brief passage. And so if you have your Bibles open, follow along with me. It says this, and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. I want to take those verses this morning and use those as our Thanksgiving table setting, if you will. Discover three things in there that remind us of, no matter what's going on in our world, no matter who you are, no matter what your life experience to this point, no matter what kind of day you've had so far, there are some things that you have to remember about being thankful, because believe it or not, you have a lot to be thankful for. When I asked the question earlier, every hand in this room went up. You're thankful for something. And we don't have to have a holiday to remember that, but it is a good practice for us to get into, of offering a constant barrage and offering and sacrifice to God of thanksgiving for the things that He does. And so what is it that we have to be thankful for? What is it that frames our conversation about being thankful? Because we've been looking at that for the last 3 weeks. And so here are some reminders from you that come out of these verses. And the first one is simply this. Thankfulness begins. Well, hold on before I do that. Let me give you one more principle. That help? In the back, I could tell I missed something. Let me give you one principle, because I know that you guys, if I don't do this, you won't be thankful when you walk out the door, because there's a blank in your outlines. And it dawned on me just a second, I skipped it. I said it, though. Gratitude is not just an emotion, it's an action. Gratitude is not just an emotion, it's an action. I didn't slow down long enough to give you the principle, so I want you to be thankful for that. And for us in our lives, there are three things in this passage that we can discover that remind us of what it is that we need to be thankful about and what it is that we can give praise about as we move into this week's celebration of Thanksgiving. The first one is simply this. Thankfulness begins with God's presence. Thankfulness begins with God's presence. It says, and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. More gratitude in your life is not going to come from more acquisitions. more gratitude in your life comes from a greater awareness of God's presence and God's goodness. And thankfulness begins when we begin to understand God as the source and the giver of all good things. Now, we do live in a day and age where, for the most part, a lot of folks would like to tell you that we want to push God out of the public square. And I shared with you that a young boy, a fourth grader, who was in a very politically correct classroom, basically turned in this report on the origin of the Thanksgiving holiday. He said this: the pilgrims came here seeking freedom of you know what. And when they landed, they gave thanks to you know who. But because of that, we can worship each Sunday you know where. In other words, trying to eliminate God from the mix of being thankful. And it just doesn't happen. In our lives, it's important to understand that gratitude begins to take place when you learn to open your eyes and you begin to discover and perceive the good that is going on around you. You can't manufacture gratitude by willpower. That's not the way it happens. You can't just gin it up, even though a lot of people try. But gratitude is a byproduct of the way that you look at life. And so here's the grim, gritty Thanksgiving reality that you got to deal with. If you can't have gratitude, your outlook is messed up. Because God has given you so many things and done so much for you that just like we saw in the video, before you ever get to the Thanksgiving table, you ought to be full. And so the reality for each one of us is, are we able to see it? Because it begins with the knowledge and understanding of God's presence in your life. Now, if he's not present in your world, if you don't know him and you don't have a walk with him, then I can promise you, you will struggle when it comes to gratitude. You're going to struggle over Thanksgiving. Because no matter how badly we would like to push him away from the public square, there is a reality that you have to deal with, and the reality is he's real. And he is the giver and source of all good things. And so for you and for me, thankfulness begins with God's presence and a perception of the fact that in the world around us, God is doing some amazing things. It's seeing what you have, not what you don't have. And here's what I know that you have. If when you take inventory of all areas of your life and there's nothing else, zilch, you still have Jesus, you've got enough. And until you can come to grips with that, Thanksgiving will always be a problem for you. And gratitude will always be a struggle point because thankfulness begins with God's presence. And just like kids who have to learn to be taught to be thankful, you too have to learn and grow in how you view the world and understand who God is. And as you grow that relationship with him and as you transform and that relationship's developed, then you will begin to have the opportunity to see and view the world radically differently. And then you'll be able to say, no matter what the circumstances, because it is you and God, there's always a crowd. But Thanksgiving begins with his presence. And so before anything else happens in your world, as you move into the holidays, before anything happens in your life, as you move toward Thanksgiving this week, before anything happens, as you start taking inventory of how you'll spend this holiday week or this holiday season, it begins with God's presence. And if you don't begin it there, you will fail in being thankful. You will be miserable this Thanksgiving season. You will be a wreck because you've forgotten what it is you're supposed to be thankful for. See, we lifted our voice in song a few minutes ago. And if you didn't pay attention to what you were singing, you should have. Some powerful words written by Michael W. Smith in a very common phrasing in our culture. You took the fall because of me. Above all. Man, I couldn't muster that. I didn't do anything to earn that kind of love. I didn't do anything to earn that kind of loyalty from the creator of the universe. But he looked into the world and he looked at it, my life. Now, I'm not even talking about you. I'm talking about me. He looked at my life. And he said, Jeff Dixon, you're a rat. And on your best day, you're not that good. And nobody, amen. But because of that, because I see the potential in you and because I see what you can become with me, I'll take the hit and I'll take the fall for you. And he did the same thing for you. If you can't find somewhere in your soul to muster a bit of thankfulness, my friends, you need to change your name. And it needs to start with a capital G. R-I-N-C-H. And your heart needs to grow just a little bit. Because you have so much to be thankful for because he thought you were worth it. He took the hit. He took the fall because he wanted to be with you so badly that he couldn't ponder an eternity without you in it, in his presence. That's how much you're loved. Do you understand how big and how real and how powerful the grace and love of God is? You are full. You ought to be able to pop because you're so full because what he's done for you. And it begins with his presence, and that is more than enough. And so if you came in moping around because you had to go to church today on the week before Thanksgiving, I got news for you. Go back online and watch what you missed. Because you have much to celebrate and much to be thankful for. No matter where you are, no matter where you've been, no matter what's going on, thankfulness begins with God's presence. You have Jesus. And you're going to have him throughout eternity. And that means that life is secure. And wherever you are today, there's some day that is coming that whatever Thanksgiving you're going to have or not have this week will pale in comparison when you sit down at the feast table that God has for you. Holy mackerel. Woohoo! That'd be good. As Jerry Clower would say, that's some good eating. Big doings. The second thing is simply this. Thankfulness not only begins with God's presence, but it grows in reality. It grows in reality. Keep reading. Teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. See, if I believe I'm owed something, I'm not thankful for it because I'm entitled to it. See, if I believe you owe me something, if I'm looking for you to do something for me, when you do it, I will never be thankful for it. Because I have convinced myself I'm entitled to it and you're just supposed to do it because you're supposed to do it. And for a lot of us, we ponder and move our way through life and we evaluate life with that kind of criteria. We don't value what others do. We don't value what others are bringing to a moment. We don't value the contribution of others because we just have this idea that somehow they just ought to do it because we're just great. Or that somehow we've done something in our lives where they owe us that. At the risk of sounding my father, nobody owes you. And you're not entitled to anything. But you do get the opportunity to be thankful because the more realistic you become about life and the more that you begin to understand that God loves you, the less you begin looking for things that you seem to be entitled about. Because the more entitled you are, the less grateful you're going to be. And we wonder, why do people get more and more and show less and less gratitude? I know why. They feel like they're entitled. You ever meet people who never have enough? You ever meet people you can't do enough for? You ever meet people that no matter what you did for them yesterday, well, it's all about what did you do for me today? I'll tell you why they think that way. They are entitled. And for some reason, they've got it in their head that you owe them something that you don't owe them. So the great news for you is don't feel guilty. You don't owe anybody anything. Except Jesus. Ah, but when you start living for him, then you'll discover that your whole life flips upside down and you'll start doing something for everybody else. You don't owe it to them. You owe it to Jesus. And because of that, your life flips and it flops and it does an amazing turnaround, and that's where transformation begins. Because the bigger our sense of entitlement, the smaller our sense of gratitude. And I got news for you. My sinful mind can convince me I'm entitled to anything. Yours probably can too. And left to our own devices and our own exploration, we will make a royal mess out of life. And don't kid yourself. That's why a culture that is doing its best to push God out of it finds itself in so many different situations where the wacky headlines just make you scratch your head as a follower. For example, San Francisco Giant Baseball Club was sued a few years ago for passing out Father's Day gifts to men only. Because somebody thought that that wasn't fair. And that men only shouldn't get those gifts, so they took the San Francisco Giants to court and won. A psychology professor in Chicago two years ago, wanted to have an old-fashioned Christmas party and decorated in what they thought were retro decorations and set up retro things that were part of this conference room that they were in. And they were sued for sexual harassment because they included mistletoe. The lawsuit said, "You might be inviting someone to give me an unwanted kiss because I might be standing under the mistletoe." And they took the professor to court, and it cost him his job. Because of the sense of entitlement that we have in the world around us. Well, here's a better one than that, though. A psychic was awarded over $1 million because in a physical examination, a doctor had ordered a CAT scan. And after a CAT scan, according to the psychic, it impaired the psychic's psychic ability. And they lost their ability to make a living and earn an income. So they sued for $1 million and won. Now, here's my problem with that if I'm the judge. If she was really a psychic, shouldn't she have known not to go to that doctor in the first place? So I would have thrown the case out of court. But entitlement. And from a Christian framework, ingratitude is not just a psychological problem, it's an impoverishment problem. You have an impoverished emotional experience if you think you're entitled. It's sin. And a lot of the struggle points that we have in our life is because we want something that someone else has. We want more than we have. And we think that somehow, some way in our head, it makes sense that it's not fair that we don't have it. And as a result, we have a sin issue that causes us to stumble. Because nothing can lure you away from God quicker than grumbling. You want to go on a field trip away from God? Let me tell you how. Grumble and gripe. Spend your time focused on what's wrong. And then take the next step. Grumble and gripe about it. And you know where you're going to be? You're going to be on a road trip a long way from God. Because that will drive you from Him. And God takes this really seriously, by the way. See, over and over again, we are reminded throughout His Word that we need to be thankful, we need to be grateful, we need to take inventory of what we have and understand who the source is. Because gratitude doesn't come when you get more stuff. That's the insane folly of our day. Gratitude comes when you see reality. The reality is this: all that you have is a gift to you from a benevolent benefactor. And you must learn to be a gracious beneficiary. Nobody owes you anything. But because of the grace and the mercy of God, you get it all. And you get to be called a child of the King. And because you're a child of the King, that gives to you all of the attachments, all the rewards, all the accolades that will go with that. And he's going to give you a crown or crowns one day. And as you stand before him, you know how valuable those crowns are going to be? You're going to throw them on the ground. See, most people work all their life to get some kind of crown, to be some kind of royalty, but yet heaven reminds us that when we get to heaven and we step into God's presence, the very crowns that we get, we're going to throw down at his feet. Because then and only then will we see the real value of it. The reality of this world is that you have nothing that you've earned yourself. But you have it all because of the grace and love of God. And when you know that reality, and when that becomes a reality of your existence, then no matter what's going on around you, you will remember that God is good. And that reality will carry you through each day. And here's one that's even better than that. God is good to you. And because he's good to you, you're full. And you're full before you ever get to a table. You're full before you ever sit down and thank God for the meal you're about to eat. You're full. And the third thing you need to see is this, that thankfulness thrives then and breathes in each moment. See, if you can remember that thankfulness begins with Jesus and it grows in the reality of the way that we live our lives and the world that we live in, then at each and every moment becomes an opportunity, somehow, some way, for you to discover something to be thankful for. It can become a game. It can become a quest. It can become a lifestyle. Look back at the passage again. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God, the Father, through him. Notice it says, whatever you do. Not just part of what you do, but whatever you do. Whether in word or deed, what you say, what you do. Do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. That means that we need to thank God and bless God for people, all people. Those that you like, those that you don't like. Because life with God has a lot to do with people. And we should thank God for the people we can get along with easily, and we should thank God for the people we can't get along so easily. We can thank God for those people that he puts in our path. We can thank God for those people we work with. We can thank God for the people that sometimes rub you the wrong way. We can thank God for those people that seem to just get on page with you and agree with your opinion. They think that you're just smart and brilliant. But we have to thank God for people. But we also have to thank God for circumstances. And we have to thank God for the good circumstances. And remember, when circumstances are good and things are going well, it won't always stay that way. And we have to thank God for those less than perfect circumstances. And remind ourselves that this too will pass. And each day that we get is just another day on a step as we live out and flesh out eternity. But life with God helps me learn to be grateful for imperfect people and imperfect circumstances. Gratitude is a byproduct of a spiritual reality. And as we begin to live and train ourselves to live in this reality, our job is to place our minds in the presence of God and we surrender our will. Because if I wait for people and places and situations to become perfect before I'm thankful, it ain't never going to happen. If I wait for other things to fall in line before I get thankful, those things are never going to fall in line. But yet this passage reminds us and draws us back to the fact that we have what we need to be thankful. Just like we saw in the sketch, we're full before we ever have the opportunity to say thanks. We've got more than enough. We've got all that we need. Stephen Post is a medical researcher that opened up what is called the Institute for the Research on Unlimited Love, which is dedicated to testing and measuring the effects of love and gratitude and other positive caring emotions in the human experience and what that looks like in human lifestyles. His research has discovered that spending 15 minutes a day focused on things you're grateful for can have the following effects on your physical health. 15 minutes a day, being thankful and grateful, can make these changes. One, it increases your body's natural antibodies. You can read the research if you want. Two, it increases mental capacity and reduces vulnerability to depression. In other words, it makes you smarter and less sad. All of us could use that, especially the smarter part. 3, it creates within us a physiological sense of resonance. And he goes on to define that. In other words, it improves your blood pressure and your heart rate. Once your blood pressure go down, heart rate go down a little bit, be thankful. Because we know the opposite is true, right? What happens when you get stressed? Blood pressure goes up, heart rate goes up, right? So this makes sense. So the opposite takes place. That's what gratitude does for you. See, and unlike the grandma on the beach when the hat didn't come back, this is a reminder that when we take the time to look at those things that we ought to be thankful for, that we ought to be most thankful for, it not only makes a difference in how we feel, it makes a difference in how we live, and it makes a difference of how we're going to flesh out each day. And so that's why Paul writes in Colossians 3, 15 through 17, this from a little bit different translation, always, always be thankful. Let the message about Christ and all its richness fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom he gives. Sing songs and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts in whatever you do or say. Do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. That's Thanksgiving. That's gratitude. And so the question before the house is, are you full? Are you full of his joy? Are you full of his grace? Are you full of his hope? Are you full of his peace? Are you full of his love? In a video, that's what they prayed at the table before they ever got around to thanking God for the meal. See, your Thanksgiving dinner, I know some of you will be stressed about the dinner, but to be honest with you, your Thanksgiving dinner could be chicken and waffles. That's what the pilgrims ate, I'm sure. It could be a burger. It could be Rice Krispies. Because the meal doesn't matter. The heart is what matters. Are you full? Now, each week along the way, we've been building this now what for you. And we started with week one where we said you need to grow. Now we also put it on Facebook, so you've seen it. But in other words, the grow piece was G-R-O-W. We talked about having God thoughts. We talked about reorienting your moments as often as you need to see what God is doing. We've talked about owning and taking responsibility for the journey that you're on. And we've talked about weeding out the junk that gets in that greenhouse that we try to grow our love for him in. Last week, we added two more. We said in. So we have grow and now in. In is insight beyond eyesight. In other words, learn to have insight beyond just what you can see. Recognize that God is doing something that goes beyond you. And learn to see and appreciate that and thank God for that. And then the end was, remember, you're never alone, no matter what. That he is always with you. And so the last word that we want to add, because that's just an incomplete phrase, grow in. And so that's the last point. No, grow in thanks. Thanks is the last word. What does it stand for? T. Truth. We just talked about it. There's a reality that you can build your life on. And it is in that reality that you discover something to be thankful for. The truth that you get the opportunity as a follower of God to build your life on will change everything and gives you something to be thankful for. H, you have a helper. Holy Spirit dwells within you. You ever feel like it's crowded in there? Because you're a follower of Jesus Christ, he moves in. He lives there. You're not only never alone, but there's a constant conversation that ought to be taking place in your world. God is with us, and he lives in us. If you've made that decision to believe, trust, and follow Jesus, you have a helper. A, have an attitude of gratitude. In other words, learn to see what God has done. And take the time to bless and thank others. The end? Your needs have been met. Didn't say your wants. Said your needs. And each of us have needs that must be met. And God, who loves you best and loves you most and knows you better than anyone else, knows exactly what you need and has promised to meet you at that point of need. And so we must learn to celebrate the needs that he meets and learn to thank him for those things. K, kindness. A great way to express thanks is by being kind. We talked about this week one. That kindness is a low bar, isn't it? You can be kind. You can be kind. And you can make sure that the world doesn't turn wonky on you and become all about you. And share kindness with others. And an S. And this is the one that sometimes will trip us up. It's sacrifice. It's giving your life to Jesus and living your life for others. In other words, the gift that Jesus puts on the table for you is the best gift you're ever going to get. We talked about this in the Gambler series. The deal on the table is you got to go all in. And when you go all in, you sacrifice all you are so you can be all you can be. And when you do that, then you begin to discover that your life has not ever been about you, but been about the way that God wants to use you. And the best version of you is given as you live life to touch and change the world with his love. In other words, you will sacrifice for others. You can't outgive God. He's the giver of all good things. So you have a model that you can look at and you can draw from. He showed you what it was like. He gave his best for you so that you could be your best for him. And so truth, a helper, an attitude of gratitude, your needs met, kindness and being kind and learning to sacrifice. When those things begin to work in your world and you put it all together, then you will grow in thanks and you will live a life where you are thankful each and every day. We bow your heads and hearts and let's pray as we get ready to wrap up this time of worship. Heavenly Father, we're full. We're full. You've given us everything that we need. We have joy that is all around us and waiting for us to claim. We've been given grace because you've given us so much that we didn't pay the bill for. And there's no way we could cover that debt. Lord, you've given us hope. Because each day we get is a new beginning. And as your word teaches us, is loaded with mercies that are brand new each day. And no matter where we were yesterday, no matter how bad it was, the hope of a new day can bring the dawning within us of the unlimited possibilities and potentials of a life lived for you. And Lord, we have peace. Peace has never been the absence of conflict, but Heavenly Father, peace is knowing that you're in charge and we're not. And we're leaning into you and following you and discovering that there is a life that is bigger than us that we can be a part of. And then there's love. And we get to live in your love. And no matter where we go, no matter what we do, we get to experience that love. It's the love that you showed for us when you showed up on that very first Christmas morning. It's that love that came full circle when you went on a cross and you died for our sins because we just couldn't cover that debt. It's a love that brought you out of a tomb so that you could offer to each of us a life and eternal life and give us a gift of salvation that is ours for the taking if we want it. And to get it, we turn back around and give our lives to you. Lord, there's some who are in this room, some who will listen in the days ahead, some over the course of this week who are going to hear this, and they've never made the decision to believe, trust, and follow you. And God, I pray that even now, that you would just move in their lives so that this week they would have something to really be thankful for. And understand that the choice, the decision that they make to take you at your word and to believe, trust, and follow, that changes everything. And it not only secures eternity, but it opens the door to an abundant life that you have for us in the here and now. But for others who have done that, we just need those powerful moments where we can sit back and remember that we really are full. And this needs to be a week where we live in the fullness of who you are and what you've done. Help us to be thanks-living people. Not just today, but for each day of our life. And if we do, we will have done a great job of focusing on you as we move into this Christmas season, ready to explore and experience all that you have for us in this most wonderful time of the year. So God, help us to learn those lessons this day. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Happy Thanksgiving to all of you.